Today on From His Heart, Pastor Jeff Shreve says that, spiritually speaking, every person is in one of three locations.
You're either in Egypt, or you're in the wilderness, or you're in the promised land. Now that's not heaven, that's the spirit-filled life. That's the life that God wants for every single one of us. Jesus said, John 10:10, I came that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly. That it would be full, that it would be meaningful, that it would be overflowing with the goodness of God. So the question we have before us is, okay, so how do we, spiritually speaking, cross the Jordan to enter into the life of abundance that God has for us? There is truth, there is bliss, there is hope.
Is there anything that's keeping you from living the abundant life God has promised for all of His children? This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, with today's eye-opening message that will reveal how to get your eyes on the Lord, how to walk by faith, and how important it is to never forget what great things He has done for you. The lesson is taken from the powerful 10-message series, Rising to the Challenge, a study of the book of Joshua. If you miss any of the broadcasts, you can catch up online anytime at fromhisheart.org. Right now, open your Bible to the 3rd chapter of the book of Joshua. Here's Pastor Jeff to help you determine if you really want to enter the Promised Land.
Now, in the Old Testament, location is critical, and there are three critical locations that we read about, especially in those first 6 books. There's the location Egypt, and then there's the location called the wilderness, which is, don't think of a forest, think of a desert, rocks and stone and sand. And then there's the location called the Promised Land, the land of plenty, the land flowing with milk and honey. Those were 3 key places in the life of the children of Israel. And they're 3 key places for us today. See, because everyone in this room spiritually, you're either in Egypt or you're in the wilderness or you're in the promised land, the spirit-filled life, the life that's full of the life of God, the life that's full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. That's the spirit-filled life. Now, the life in Egypt, that's a picture of slavery to sin. And that's the picture of a person who's lost. They don't have a relationship with Jesus, and they're a slave to sin. But now, if you know from the book of Exodus, God's people, they were in Egypt for 400 years, but they didn't stay in Egypt, because God led them out through a series of mighty plagues. The 10th one was the most memorable, and that was the plague of the death angel. And the way that the Jews escaped the death angel who was coming in to kill the firstborn is they took a lamb, a Passover lamb it was called, and they killed that lamb and put the blood of that lamb on the doorpost and on the lintel, the top part of the door. And the Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the death angel won't come to your house. And so God led them out in mighty power. He led them through the Red Sea. The sea parted before them. They were able to go on dry ground. And when Pharaoh followed and his armies, they were drowned in the Red Sea. The wilderness is the second place they went. And God initially had them go into the wilderness just as a thoroughfare to get into the Promised Land. And so they weren't supposed to be in the wilderness for very long before they went into the Promised Land. But if you know your Bible history, you know that they didn't go into the Promised Land, because when they were right on the edge of the Promised Land, they said, we can't go in there. There are giants in there. There are fortified cities in there. We need to go back to Egypt. And God got very angry. And God says, you're not going to believe me for the Promised Land? Well, let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to wander around in the desert for 40 years till all you people 20 years old and upward die. And that's what they did. And so the wilderness is a picture of the person who has been saved, but he's not trusting God. He's walking by sight, and he's not walking by faith. And so because of that, he just wanders around in circles. He's not ever making progress, really. Spiritually, he's a carnal Christian. He's a fleshly Christian, walking by sight and not walking by faith. But then there's the promised land. Now, that's not heaven. That's the spirit-filled life. That's the life that God wants for every single one of us. Jesus said, John 10:10, I came that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly, that it would be full, that it would be meaningful, that it would be overflowing with the goodness of God. So today we want to talk about entering into the promised land. Here we are, fast forward 40 years later. Moses has died. Joshua is now in control. And now they're not on the southern part getting ready to go up into the promised land. They're on the eastern part on the plains of Moab. And they're going to have to cross the Jordan River to come in from the east to the promised land. And the first thing that they're going to encounter in the promised land is Jericho. And they're going to have to fight the battle of Jericho. But they have to cross the Jordan first. Now, the Lord had said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. So the question we have before us is, okay, so how do we, spiritually speaking, cross the Jordan to enter into the life of abundance that God has for us, to enter into the promised land that God has for us? Let's look. Joshua chapter 3, I'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, then Joshua rose early in the morning, and he and all the sons of Israel set out from the Acacia and came to the Jordan, and they lodged there before they crossed. And it came about at the end of 3 days that the officers went through the midst of the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, with the Levitical priest carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. This is a really important passage of scripture, Joshua chapter 3 and Joshua chapter 4. Really important because this is the long-awaited promise coming to fruition. God had promised this land, and they're getting ready to take this land. And God tells them how to do it. 3 steps that I want to share with you today that we find in Joshua 3 and 4 that speak to us today, spiritually, how to enter into the promised land, how to cross the Jordan and enter into the promised land, the land that God has for us. 3 steps. First step, you can get your eyes on the Lord and follow him. Now, Joshua rose early in the morning, huge group that he is leading. And so they set out and they get to the edge and they wait on the Lord. What are we supposed to do? And the Lord tells them, you need to follow me. Verse 3, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God with the Levitical priest carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. When you see it, follow it. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, if you're not sure what that is, that was the most sacred, holy piece of furniture the Jews ever had. It symbolized and represented the presence of God. It's a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Get your eyes on the Lord and follow him. And remember this, when you follow him, you follow with clear vision and holy reverence. Clear vision and holy reverence. Verse 4. However, there shall be between you and it meaning the Ark of the Covenant, a distance of about 2,000 cubits. A cubit is 18 inches roughly. So a distance of about 3,000 feet. By measure, do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you are going, for you have not passed this way before. So that's an important verse, and that is telling the people, listen, now remember, so we got a million and a half people, and you got the Levitical priests, and they're carrying the Ark of the Covenant. You didn't carry the Ark of the Covenant like this. You carried it on poles. And so they never touched the Ark of the Covenant. They would touch the pole, and the poles would carry that thing around. But you have to be able to see it with that many people. If you got too close to the ark, then the people behind you couldn't see it. So he said, keep a distance of about a half a mile between the ark and the crowd so that you can clearly see where the ark is going, so that you can see it and so that you can follow it. We got to be careful as we follow the Lord that we don't get ahead of the Lord, that we don't say, oh, I think I know where he's going. I'm going to beat him to it. You don't do that. You follow him. He doesn't follow you. And so there was a logistical reason for God to say to them, don't get close to it. But there's also a spiritual reason that applies to us today. And the spiritual reason is this: God is God. He's a consuming fire. God's not your pal. He's not your buddy. He's not your teammate or your neighbor next door. He is God. And so you always have reverence, holy reverence and awe when it comes to God. Some people like to refer to God as the man upstairs. God is not the man upstairs. That is too familiar a term that people would use to talk about God. You don't talk about God that way because you have reverence and awe of God. So we can get close to God, and God wants us to get close to him spiritually, but God always wants us to remember that he is God and we are not. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and it's the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is recognizing that God is God and you are not God. And God's not like you. He's different from you. And so think about a person who respects his earthly father. He knows he can get close to his father, but he also knows that my dad is not like my teammate on the football team. He's not like my pal in chemistry class. He's not like the guy that sits next to me at the cubicle at work. He is God, and I treat him differently because he is worthy of all respect. So we follow where we can see him clearly, and we keep him in holy reverence, and then we follow him with a purified heart. Verse 5, then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Consecrate yourself. That means purify yourself, cleanse yourself. Get spiritually focused so you're not distracted by worldly things. Spend time with God. Get your heart right with God. You do that today because tomorrow we're going to see God do wonders. It takes some time to prepare your heart. David said in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there be any hurtful way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. God, what is in there that's displeasing to you? Because I don't want it to be there. Show me. And when you consecrate yourself, you deal with yourself. You look in the mirror. You look soberly in the mirror, and you see if there's sin that needs to be confessed, you confess it. You get it out of the shadows, into the light, and under his blood so that it can be washed white as snow. You know, we want to purify ourselves for 5 minutes or 3 minutes or 2 minutes or whatever. God, please forgive me for whatever I did that was wrong. And it's just this blanket wholesale kind of thing. And you know what you did was wrong. We like to sin retail and confess wholesale. It doesn't really work that way with God. You know, you need to name it and nail it to the cross of Jesus Christ. And so here we are. And then we say, well, Lord, I prayed for 2 minutes. Now do something wonderful in my life. But he doesn't do it like that. He said, consecrate yourselves today and the Lord will do wonders tomorrow in your life. Spend some time getting your heart right with God. So that's the first step. And anyone and everyone in this room, you can do that. You can get your eyes on the Lord and you can follow him. The song says, I heard him call, come follow. That was all. My gold grew dim. My heart went after him. Oh, beloved, who wouldn't follow if they heard him call? The other song says, wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loved me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. That's the first step if you're going to get into the promised land and experience the fullness of God. Step number two, you can hear the word of the Lord and obey him. So the first step, we get our eyes on the Lord and follow him. The second step, we hear the word of the Lord and we obey him. Verse 6. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of the people. Now the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that you may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. You shall moreover command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, saying, 'When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan.'" Then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, "Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will assuredly dispossess from before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, and the Jebusite, the seven nations who lived in Canaan, which is called the land of promise, the land of plenty, the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear the word of the Lord and obey him." Now, remember this. So they have traveled from the Acacia where they were. They have traveled about 6-7 miles to get to the edge of the Jordan. The Jordan River, back at this time, this is 1406 BC. That's when this is taking place, 1406 BC. So we're talking 3,400 years, give or take, from today. If you go to Israel today and you see the Jordan River, you think, man, the Jordan River should be renamed the Jordan Creek because it's small. But back in 1406, it was big. And it normally would be about 100 feet across and anywhere from 3 feet to 10 feet deep. That was the normal Jordan River. But the scripture is going to tell us that at the time they crossed, it was about March in the month Nisan, March, April. And the Jordan always overflowed its banks at that time period. And so the Jordan, which was normally 100 feet wide, would be as much as a mile wide during that time. 3 to 10 feet deep normally, now it would be 50 to 200 feet deep. So get the picture. You're on the east side and you have this river that's flowing, that's a half a mile to a mile wide, that's very deep, and you have 1 million to 1.5 million people that need to cross. And not only do they need to cross, their flocks and their herds need to cross. And not only their flocks and their herds, but everything they have, their clothes, their tents, their pots and pans, their sundry items. I mean, I was thinking it up, maybe you have like 100,000 U-Hauls to go across, plus all the people. I mean, you got a lot of stuff that you got to get across the Jordan. And they're sitting there and they're thinking, well, Joshua, there's no bridge. There's no barge. There's no ferry boat. There's no underground tunnel. How are we going to do this? Hey, let me tell you what, Joshua, there is no way across the Jordan River. That's the way it appeared. That's the way it seemed. Hey, remember this. There will always be barriers to the promised land. Always. Always. Now, when they were at Kadesh Barnea under Moses' leadership, when they should have come out of Egypt through the wilderness into the promised land 40 years earlier, what happened? Well, they spied out the land, 12 spies, and 10 of them came back with a negative report and said, "We can't take that land. I mean, it's a good land, just like God said. It's land flowing with milk and honey. They have grapes like coconuts over there. I mean, it's an awesome place. But let me tell you, you got giants over there. You got fortified cities over there. We can't take that land. We were like grasshoppers in the sight of those people. And so we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. We can't take that land." And they didn't. And the Lord said, "I swore to them in my wrath, surely they will not enter my rest." Hebrews chapter 3. That's the people under Moses. God got angry with them. They didn't enter in because of their unbelief. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, speaking of the people with Moses who didn't enter into the land, it says, "For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard." They didn't believe God. Hey, you got to believe God to take the promised land. You got to believe God to come across the Jordan River, whatever the Jordan is for you, whatever the barrier is for you. My friend Charles Lowry, who was is a psychologist, but became a pastor. He said he got tired of listening to other people's problems. He became a pastor. Well, you hear a lot of problems there, but he said he was counseling somebody one time and the guy was giving him this song and dance of why he was a loser. He said, well, you know, Doc, you got to understand. He said, I know I'm a loser. I know I'm not doing anything with my life. I know I'm a loser, but let me tell you why I'm a loser. He said, my dad's an alcoholic. And he said, I didn't have a chance. My dad's an alcoholic. That's why I'm a loser. He said, well, that's one way to think about it. Or maybe it could be that your dad's an alcoholic because you're a loser. He said he knew he had to get out of that profession when he told the guy that, you know. It's like, this isn't, they're not going to pay. People aren't going to pay you for that. Although it's probably true. But hey, what's your excuse as to why you can't obey God? Oh, there are giants in the land. Oh, there are fortified cities in the land. Oh, there's this big Jordan River. There's no way we can get across. And there's no bridge, no barge. We can't do it. We walk by faith, Paul says, not by sight. Because if you walk by sight, you're never going to cross the Jordan. If you walk by sight, you're never going to engage the giants in the land. And there were giants in the promised land. There's a cat named Goliath that lives in the promised land. And he's got brothers. The sons of Anak, they said, are in the land. Anak in Hebrew means long neck. These guys are tall and they scared the Israelites. But you have to trust the promises of God.
Today's lesson called, Do You Want to Enter the Promised Land? Is one of 10 in the timely and truly inspiring series that will be in this month. And you can find out more about that when you go to fromhisheart.org. These lessons are packed with practical and powerful reminders of how and why we should grow in our faith as we mature. But sometimes there are one or two or more sticking points that just cause us to stop growing in our journey. Are you wrestling with one aspect of your faith that you just can't seem to get over? Maybe some disappointments, some doubt, something you just don't agree with in Scripture, fear of peer pressure or criticism from others, or a myriad of other sticking points. Well, you wouldn't be the first. But Pastor Jeff Shreve has prepared a power-packed series that'll help you overcome some of the most common sticking points to a strong and vibrant faith. The series is entitled Sticking Points: Overcoming Obstacles to Faith. 4 messages on USB flash drive, MP3 download, CDs, or DVDs. And it's our gift to you for your support to From His Heart this month of any amount. And with that series, we'll also send you Pastor Jeff's booklet, Not Guilty. And that booklet will point you to the Spirit of Life in Jesus Christ that'll make you free from the law of sin and death. To get Sticking Points, Overcoming Obstacles to Faith, and the companion booklet, Not Guilty, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org. And please know that your support allows From His Heart to impact the world each and every day. Pastor Jeff is a volunteer for this ministry. You are expanding your influence for Christ around the world when your kingdom gift comes to From His Heart. So thank you so very much. Well, thank you for joining us today. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to be with us this weekend for the national television broadcast of From His Heart, and you can also listen and watch online. And we hope you'll be right back here on Monday for part 2 of this inspiring, timely, and practical message called, Do You Want to Enter the Promised Land? It's from the series, Rising to the Challenge, a study of the book of Joshua. Join us next time when we open up God's Word to share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, who this year is celebrating 20 years of speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at FromHisHeart.org.